This is Dick Sedaquist with my 119th blog and 11th podcast called The Gift. You can read the printed version here on my blog or listen to the audio version on my podcast or at Reflections and Stories Along the Way on iTunes. A friend of mine, Frank, recently passed away. I consider him one of my heroes because he persisted in spite of extreme adversity. Most of all, he helped others suffering from his same affliction. This is my tribute to him. He is the older gentleman in this story I wrote several years ago. In addition to service to his country, his local town and municipal water and sewage treatment district, Frank also ran a local political blog and served as a town constable and justice of the peace. He volunteered all over the state giving talks to school children about the dangers of smoking, and taught and assisted new victims of his affliction on the use of artificial speech devices. Here is my story. It's called The Gift, about Frank and his new friend. The Gift. The holidays are over with only the final commercial celebration of the season, the Super Bowl, to be played out. It's usually this darkest time of year when I feel blocked, looking for greater spiritual meaning, hoping for inspiration. Unexpectedly, it found me. My eyes were open to the light once again. The Diner, Part 1. My wife has been halfway across the country for a week, helping out her sister who had foot surgery. Tired of my own attempts at healthy cooking, a local diner beckoned me through the door for breakfast. To the left, the booths were filled with animated and talkative people. To the right, I passed an elderly gentleman and what appeared to be his son, busy working on their plates and cups of coffee. The home fries looked seductively good. Taking the booth next to them, I signaled the waitress for coffee and started thinking about my day. She took my order. Father and son continued silently with their food. The younger man, facing me, nodding occasionally, expressing his satisfaction. With their plates near empty, the waitress asked him if they enjoyed everything while she poured more coffee. Again, more nods and silence. That was fine. I was lost in thought. My reverie was broken by an irritating electronic hum coming from the older man with his back to me. Even before the first metallic word, my brain summed up his case history. He had lost his voice to cancer and a radical laryngectomy. His new voice was coming from what is called an electrolarynx. This speech option is usually the only choice after an extreme surgical procedure. The patient places the humming device against their throat, silently mouthing and articulating the words with their tongue. I've heard it before. The sound is slightly annoying, almost alien, like listening to the computerized, mechanically synthesized voice of Stephen Hawking and NOAA weather radio. Naturally, my instant reaction was replaced with empathy for the poor man. As he droned on, his son, or the young man who seemed to be his son, continued to smile and nod. This encouraged the speaker to continue his monologue as if there was no need to take a breath. The man was giving a lecture. I couldn't make out the gist of the speech, but even the droning seemed impassioned. I found myself eating faster, so I could politely leave. The son then took out a small notebook and pen and scribbled a few words, handing it to his mentor. Then I saw it, the gauzy covering on the young man's throat, protecting his new airway. He was the student, and the old man was the veteran holding court, introducing his charge to a new life and what would be his new voice. By this time, I was feeling quite guilty with my impatience and how lucky I was in comparison. Before I left the diner, I spoke briefly to the waitress. The young man had surgery 3 weeks ago for a cancerous tumor. This may have been one of his first solid meals since his operation. He was a regular at the diner. Clearly, I had wandered into a family relationship. The young man was the diner's adopted son. He was getting help from his support group. The waitress waited on his need for sustenance and company. The old man was showing him the ropes and telling him it would be all right, giving the gift of courage. My lingering vision of all this was the young man smiling, showing his appreciation. My own prostate cancer seems unimportant at this point. The surgeon's deft hands left me intact, without loss of function. A great gift. I've gone 4 years with a zero PSA blood test, considered a cure by all standards. I can easily smile at my good fortune. I don't have to summon up the courage of that young man in the diner who lost his voice. The diner, part two. I had breakfast with my laryngectomy friends this morning. I was a little apprehensive at first, but it turned into a typical humorous discussion between guys. Anybody got a good laryngectomy joke? They take turns cheering each other up. It was a real lesson in life. They have over 100 members in their local laryngectomy club. Some of their older members are over 90 years old. I think they're looking for volunteers. Laryngectomy, ending in a Y, is the name for the operation. Laryngectomy, ending in a double E, is what you become. The older ones provide support for the newcomers. They haul them out of deep depression and turn them into laughing fools. I'm overstating it, but it's how they survive. Not all make it. Some give up. Not these two guys. The younger one is looking to get an implant, an artificial one-way valve, which will allow him to expel air through his mouth and achieve a more natural speech using his esophagus. The older one uses an electrolarynx. If I focus on his mouth when he is speaking, it's a lot easier to understand. The younger one can hardly wait for his implant called a TEP, which stands for one of the longest words in the English language. The amazing thing is that I walked out of this breakfast meeting laughing. Their enthusiasm and courage is contagious. If you go to the internet, you can read volumes on the history and details of this surgical procedure. The net result, depending on the extent of the operation, is a rerouting of the airway and often the inability to talk. Medical innovation over the years has improved the survival rate of these cancer victims and their ability to communicate. The dedication of people who have survived and formed support groups makes the lives of the newcomers more tolerable and meaningful, turning them into future supporters. That's what friends and family are all about. This all started for me when I went to the diner for breakfast and sat next to the two gentlemen in this story. Later, I was inspired to write The Gift, a story about courage. I didn't know these people from Adam, nor did they know that I had eavesdropped on their communication. I left the diner both troubled and inspired by what I had witnessed. After finishing this story, I left a copy at the diner for the waitress to share as she thought appropriate. She passed it along to the young man, and it turned out that my impressions and resulting story were quite accurate. He emailed me and told me how much the story meant to him. He shared it with friends and family. They want to put it in their international newsletter as an example of how the outside world may view their lives. We agreed to meet soon. Today, I met the young man and his older mentor for breakfast. The older man liked the idea that I viewed his companion as his son. That started a string of stories. He told me that laryngectomies can't laugh. They just electronically say, ha, ha, ha. That's funny. All I heard was laughter. It's still running through my brain.